John's Gospel begins in a remarkable way. Each of the four Gospel writers, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, have their own distinctive way of opening up what they want to say about Jesus. Matthew, of course, takes us to a genealogy. He shows us Jesus as the great descendant and therefore the culmination of the promises to Abraham and then to David. And of course, he presents Jesus as the return from exile. Mark is more straight to the point. He opens up his gospel. Frankly, this is the beginning of the good news about Jesus, tells us who he is, and takes us to John the Baptist, who in turn serves to show us how Jesus fulfills some great promises from the Old Testament. Luke does it a different way. He writes to Theophilus, lover of God, whether that's one single person or just a way of talking about Christians, we're not sure. Either way, he writes to him and says, this is how you can be sure of the things that are fulfilled amongst you. And he talks about the sources and the eyewitnesses that he worked with. John, however, John's view is enormous. He goes from the small, narrow in view to the big, wide, enormous view. The Jesus that John speaks about is sometimes called the cosmic Christ. It's that big a view of him. Just listen to how John opens up his gospel. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Back in the St. John's Cathedral building, there are two images in the windows of St. John, the author of this fourth gospel. John is uniquely portrayed amongst the apostles as always usually being shaven. We're not sure why that is. It just kind of show his youthfulness. And yet, the picture of John tells us very little about him. It's John's words. It's the things that John writes as he expresses himself that tell us about who he is and what he wants us to know. Because words are what we need to hear. There are no pictures of Jesus. We don't need them because we have words. In the same way that no one has ever, we're going to see, seen God. And yet when God speaks, that's how we find out who he is. And so that's why he is described in this way here, Jesus. In the beginning was the Word. It's a very powerful statement that John makes. The Old Testament is full of this truth that God speaks, and it's in the way that he speaks that he reveals himself. Not just the things that he does, but his words that explain them. So we wouldn't know what the plagues on Egypt meant unless God had come and said why he was doing them. We wouldn't have understood the flood unless God came and explained why he was doing them. Revelation in the Bible is not just what God does, but the words that he then uses to explain himself. And so John describes Jesus in this way here. He calls him the Word. The, as it were, the speech of God. God who in some ways is silent without speaking through Jesus. It's an incredibly powerful thing to do. If you want to know what God is like, you need to hear him. And to hear him, well, you need to look at Jesus. The one who was with him right from the start. The one who we're going to see reveals him. Why is revelation so important? Well, it's simply because of this. We can't work God out. We can't get up to him. To know about God, that's a down-only motion. Philosophers have tried, haven't they? They've tried all sorts of different things, even Christian philosophers. René Descartes famously wrote a whole book to try and explain rationally that God existed. He got down from where he started to a fundamental truth. I think, therefore I am. But he couldn't get back up beyond himself to God. Because nobody begins with, I exist, and gets to God is Father, Son, and Spirit by pure philosophy. It's a truth that needs to be revealed. And God reveals it to us by sending the Lord Jesus Christ, the only one who can reveal him fully. There's also a possibility as John uses this word, that he's doing something else as well. It could be that he's making a little hint to the Greek, the Hellenized readers of this gospel. You see, the Greek philosophers used the same word, the Greek word logos, to talk about something that was very important to them. So the logos in Greek philosophy was the defining principle, the unifying principle of how things worked. Perhaps there's a nod here from John to his Hellenistic readers that in Jesus, they have now found the principle of why the universe is the way that it is and everything that happens. We also know from what John is doing here that he's very, very deliberately trying to evoke Genesis 1 and verse 1, those very famous opening words of the Bible. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The language that's here in John's Gospel is the same as the Greek version of that opening of the Old Testament. And of course, how does God create? Well, what does he do? He speaks. And so there's a great hint here from John, more than a hint, in fact. He's going to go on to say it quite explicitly, that Jesus was the agent of creation for the Father. That's what he goes on to say, isn't it? Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. And so here we have Jesus presented to us. This is the cosmic Christ. This is the great big sky-high view of Jesus. This is the awesomeness of who he is. But what does this revelation look like? Well, John doesn't leave us in any doubt. It's a very biblical revelation, he says. It builds upon what's come before. So 1:14, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. John, of course, is evoking the idea of the tent in the wilderness, the tabernacle where God came and dwelt amongst his people. But now he's come to dwell amongst them actually in human flesh. This is a very real, a very tangible revelation. He made his dwelling among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. In Jesus, John's Gospel will show us, we see the glory of God. We see his massiveness. We see his awesomeness. We see the most glorious thing that he is going to do. Of course, we saw, didn't we, as we look back on Good Friday and Easter and the run-up to it, that the great moment where we see God's glory in Jesus is, of course, the cross itself. And then the resurrection of Jesus. Jesus has come to reveal the Father in all these ways and more. It's a greater revelation than anything that has happened before. John writes, "For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ." Moses was just a messenger. He was just a conduit through whom God passed on the law to his people. But now Jesus comes with something even greater, something, of course, which God had communicated before, but now is embodied. The Word is become flesh and now brings grace and truth. And then finally, John tells us how important this is, because there is nowhere else to go. So he finishes off his prologue. "No one has ever seen God, but God, the one and only, who is at the Father's side, has made him known." The one and only. Again, he uses a very unique Greek word here. The monogenes. The one. The only one who comes from the Father in this way. There is no other. Jesus is unique in the way that he reveals the Father. He does more than reveal. He explains him. That's what's going on right at the end. This one at the Father's side has made the Father known. The word here has the sense of explaining and bringing out into the open. It's a remarkable truth, isn't it? No one has ever seen God. It is the Word of God, the eternal Son, the one at his side who makes him known, who reveals God to us. Of course, it raises fascinating questions. What about the Old Testament when all these people were meeting God? Well, John says, I'll tell you who they were really meeting. Friends, if you want to find out more about that, of course, go and see our sermon series from last year on the Christophanies. You can have a little a listen and think about those things. But for now, we see it straight from John's own pen. If you want to know who God is, you've got to go to the eternal Word. And how good of God it was that he sent him. That's one of the favourite ways that Jesus talks about himself in John's Gospel. The sent one from the Father. How good it was that God sent him to reveal himself, full of grace and truth, that we might actually know what the Father is like. Jesus is the one who reveals the Father. This cosmic Christ, this universal revelation of the Father in the Word, in the Son, isn't just a universal event. It becomes a very personal event. Listen to how John carries on in the middle of this prologue. "The true light," that he's talking about Jesus, "the true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world." Light is another way that John talks about the revelation of the Father in the Son. Light is all about Jesus bringing the truth about who he is and therefore the truth about God to people. Darkness in John's Gospel is a common theme where people don't understand. In a few chapters' time, we'll see Nicodemus. He comes to Jesus in the dark. It's symbolic of his utter ignorance of who Jesus is, and of course, really, of what God is like. And yet now, John tells us, Jesus is bringing that light of revelation. He brings it to every man. The question, therefore, is not whether God can be known in Jesus, but actually whether we want to know. He was in the world, John continues, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. That's all of us, friends. That's all of us. He made each and every one of us, and yet we didn't know him. In fact, the truth is probably we don't want to know him. But it wasn't just the humanity in general. John also singles out the Jewish nation. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. There is a double calamity here, isn't there? Mankind as a whole has rebelled against the God who made the world that they live in and who made them. And then God picked out a nation for himself, Israel, and they rejected him as well. A worldwide rejection, even by those who were Jesus' own people. So what is to be done? Well, verse 12, it lies at the very heart of the prologue, and it's the most important verse, I think, perhaps here. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. It's a remarkable verse. It's remarkable because of what it communicates, that we can be children of God simply by believing in, that is, by trusting in Jesus. And John is going to show us through the gospel what that belief, what that trust looks like, and how Jesus himself can make those of us who used to reject him and the Father who sent him, he can make us actually now children of God. But it's doubly remarkable because he says it after having immediately said that the whole world rejects God. Now, how can it be that out of a world that rejects God, there are some who instead turn to the one that he has sent and trust in him and become God's children? How can that be? Well, John lets us know. He gave them the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. You see, when someone becomes a Christian, it's not for a variety of reasons that we thought it might have been. It's not because simply they were born into the right family. It's not because they themselves ultimately were the ones that made the decision. It's not even because of a husband's will. It's not because of somebody forcing someone else to be there. No, every single person that turns to Jesus, trusts him, and becomes a child of God, it's because, John tells us, because they were born of God. It's because that God brought about a new birth in their life. And again, John is hanging out here an idea which we'll see picked up later on. Jesus will discuss this with Nicodemus. Nicodemus will come in the dark, but Jesus will tell him truth that brings light. For now, what John does is he opens up these themes for us. He shows us that Jesus reveals the Father, but that revelation has a purpose. It brings with it rescue. It is in the revelation of the Father in the Son that we can be rescued. And of course, the moment of greatest revelation, the cross of Jesus, and then his resurrection afterwards, that is the moment that we are rescued. And all of this by the cosmic Christ, by the universal Christ, the King of all, the one that was there with the Father before history itself began, the one through whom he created all things, the one in whom he's revealed himself, perfectly explaining himself, and the one in whom he rescues us. This is the one we follow. This is the one John wants to tell us about. This is the one in whom we have life.